Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, welcome to part two of a discussion on maturity. I'm joined by Tez Ilias, Bobby Mayer, and Donna Preston.
And Bobby, can I just say, like, if you find Harriet boring when she's serious, what happened when she was in labour? Did you find that really boring?
I'll say this. I was, I thought I would get in there and I'd be the guy shouting, breathe, you know? Like, I thought that was my role. But by the time I got there, she was using an app that was telling her when to breathe. So I had no purpose at the birth. And I had a lot of empathy for how much pain she was in, but after a while, it was quite boring, actually, and I did go on my phone. There was a moment within 10 minutes of my child being born where I was checking my email, because it's like, I can only do, and she was like, don't look, get away from me, don't look at anything. I was just told to sit in this chair quite far away from all the action. And yeah, I was bored, but that was less because it was serious and more because there was nothing for me to do other than be like, well, I hope this goes well. And then also... But there was my one moment. The kid was still in the sack, so the baby didn't look like a baby. It just looked like a sack of fluid, which was disgusting. It looked like an alien. And then Harriet, but the head was out. But then she had to do one more push, so half the head was out, and it looked like a little fucking alien. And then Harriet was like, "How does she look?" And I was like, "Well, she looks all right, hopefully better soon." But, like, it was a hard... I couldn't lie and say she looks great. Like, I really...
Oh, she looks like you.
I thought she was birthing an alien.
Oh, my God.
Tess, just before we move on, given that you've gone on to be such a funny guy and have a funny career, how the hell did you suppress that more playful side of your personality when you're doing stuff like counter-terrorism and anti-slavery?
It was hard. The first job I ever got when I went to the Home Office, straight, like, you know, a couple of years after uni, they put me down in Croydon and I was in an office full of middle-aged women. And I was a 22-year-old Northern Asian bloke and I was down in Croydon working with all these, like, southern middle-class, middle-aged women. And I just didn't feel like I fit in. And not their fault, I just wasn't... Culturally, we were from very, very different places. I would just come out of uni, very immature. I was getting to the office at 10 past 10 every single day and they'd have been in there by 8:30 every single day. So it was like, I just didn't feel like it was for me. And then when I moved into offices that were populated and staffed by people more of a similar age to me or with a more similar background and stuff, I felt like it was slightly easier. And then the 10 years that I was there, I always felt like I didn't quite fit in and I always felt different to everyone. And then when I found the hobby, the stand-up hobby that it was initially, I was like, oh, this is what I'm meant to be. This is what I'm meant to be doing. I'm not meant to be in an office working with people and all that sort of stuff. Like, I do miss the people a lot sometimes, but I don't miss working. It just wasn't for me.
Did you ever, like, float or attempt any banter or humour or immature behaviour that went wrong when they were in a serious meeting about...
All the time, like...
But I mean, the stakes are much higher. It's not like you're in a marketing meeting. You could be talking about how to make Wembley Stadium secure from a firebomb attack. You're like...
I had a meeting with you know Cressida Dick, the leader, boss of the Met. Yeah. So I met Cressida
Not
Dick.
Not anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Not anymore. So I met Cressida Dick when she was the assistant commissioner in 2011 because I was working in counterterrorism for the Olympics. And I met her. I can't remember what it was about, but that she found out I was doing stand-up, like, because I'd been doing it for a year at that point. Someone must have told her that, like, you're meeting this guy. Oh, he's a stand-up in the evenings. And so she asked me to tell her a joke, and I don't really have joke. I don't have I don't have one-liners.
Oh, no.
So that I was like, oh no, I don't really. And she goes, go on, like, almost like, go on. And
you didn't say I can't be near bacon or something like that, did you?
No, I couldn't
like
think
an
of anything.
Anti-police joke.
I think that week I was watching telly and Jimmy Carr was on, and Jimmy Carr did an Olympics joke, which is a very, very Jimmy Carr joke. And that's the only joke I had in my head. So I said to her, oh, I don't really write one-liners, but I heard Jimmy Carr say something funny the other day. And she went, what was it? And I went, oh, Jimmy Carr said, well, say what you want about the Iraq war and the Afghanistan war, but it does mean we're going to have an amazing Paralympic team. And then the assistant commissioner of the Metropolitan Police looked at me and she went, so why have we got this meeting
Stop
today?
Stop it!
And then you had to do like a risk assessment for an event that could cause serious injury. And oh my.
So basically, I died in front of the assistant commissioner of the Metropolitan Police with a joke that wasn't even mine.
You think these cops would have a good sense of humor? They're in their WhatsApp. They're in their WhatsApp groups being racist all the time. It's like, come on, let's laugh.
You got any racist shit, Tez? Come on, we love that. I can forward it on. Also, talk about we could move on to social media. Actually. How do we think social media is affecting how quickly or slowly we mature? Is it a sort of a way of staying younger longer and hanging on to playground type habits? I mean, Facebook in particular, still feels like I'm at school in the playground. Things I'd got rid of years ago. Emotions I hadn't felt. So I'm at an age where I had a period where I've left school. There is no social media. Then social media's started. I didn't miss the popularity contests and the you're not my friend anymore and all someone's noticed what I'm wearing. I wasn't missing that shit. I wasn't like, well, I can't wait to feel ignored again.
I deleted my personal Facebook profile like 5-6 years ago because of that. Right. It's too much and everyone uses it as like a sort of a diary, and these are people that you don't know really, because, you know, on Facebook, you, especially doing what we do, you end up amassing a load of friends that you don't really know it's like Pokemon, you just end up collecting them. And then someone that you barely remember that you might have met once just pulls their heart out on Facebook, and you're like, am I meant to be doing something about this?
I love that though. I love having an acquaintance and they are just having like a constant breakdown and I get to watch it through statuses. That's a great time. I'll like posts. I want to encourage. I'm like, give me more. Tell me what's going on.
Am I meant to reach out here? Am I meant to send them a DM asking them if they're okay? Because I'm like, I don't know this person and I don't want to get stuck.
Yeah. Donna, what do you think? Do you think it's taking us back to the playground a little bit? I mean, even the darker side of it, the bullying, the name calling, the gangs, the identity. Social media has made this stuff a lot worse. It's taken us, we're sort of stuck at the cruel 13-year-old stage.
I think that's the problem, isn't it? There's so much cyberbullying within it. It makes me personally, I don't really go on it a huge amount. I feel like I have to post a little bit to be like, I'm still alive. Hi. You know, I'm open for jobs. But also, like, I'm not posting when I'm in a taxi going to work. I'm not posting in a dressing room. I don't know, because of my face. I mean, actually, I have done that quite a bit recently just because I'm just like, oh, fuck, I haven't got anything to say. But I look at people on social media who honestly make me laugh. And I think this is great. Anyway, I'm going on a tangent. But there's so much bullying on there. I personally don't want to go back in my life. Like, do you know what I mean? I got bullied to shit when I was at school.
It does feel like school on there, doesn't it? Right.
Yeah. I don't want to get bullied again. Like, I'm 36. Like, I'm a grown adult. Like, I don't need that shit in my life. So that's why I kind of very much filter it. I think I'm at a healthy stage, I think, of the old socials, hopefully.
How do you find it, Bobby? Obviously, with Elon Musk buying Twitter, he's threatening to make it even the playground even more devoid of teachers. I mean, imagine a playground with no teachers whatsoever.
I mean, it's so boring. The idea that, like, Twitter is good and is going to get worse. It's like, it's awful and it's going to get more awful, whatever. You want to just unfollow everyone in posts because we are comedians and that's, you feel like you have to stay relevant in our job. But But then you don't want to be the guy who follows no one, because they always look like, I always think, oh, you think you're so cool, you don't have to follow anybody, really, and we're going to follow you, okay.
Yeah.
But I do think social media just leaves us in a perpetual state of insecurity, because you're always reading about how wonderfully, I mean, this is a cliche, but it's so true, is that what it keeps you... Every time you look at it, it gets you into the mentality that advertising gets you into. But it used to be you'd watch like a two-hour movie, like even like a TV movie 20 years ago, and there'd be a few commercials. So those commercials make you feel bad because you're not the people in the commercials, but then the movie makes you feel good. Whereas now, social media is just tweet after tweet making you feel like you are not good enough, or status, or whatever, or picture, whatever platform you're on. Just constantly making you feel like your life is not good enough and you are shit. And it's like, this is, and then there's always those people, you ever get that question, what's your hobby? And it's like, listen, we all have the same hobby, looking at our phone and feeling awful about ourselves.
Yeah.
And masturbation.
I'm on Twitter like everyone else, and I hate Twitter. So I genuinely hope that Elon Musk ruins it enough for everyone in the center and center left and left, so that they leave Twitter, so then I don't have to be on it anymore.
Yes, I'd
because
be so happy.
I feel like I have to be on it because everyone else is on it and you use it to sell tickets, blah, blah, blah. But like, I just wish that no one that I know and respect, I hope they all leave, then I can leave.
Yeah, you could just hand it. I think it's the time to hand it over to people who just use it as an information platform. Like, just give your... If you've got an assistant or a management or an agent or whatever, if you're doing our line of work where it just has gig listings and this and that.
How funny would it be if we all left and then he had wasted $44 billion? all just leave today. Everyone's like, okay, yeah, let's prank him. We all leave and he's just spent $44 billion on a pile of nothing.
Except me and Tez would go back on it and we go on there and be legends to everyone. Just the two of us. Doing banter all day long and selling the
O2. Oh my God, I did that once at college once, A-level, second year biology. The teacher didn't turn up. So it was like 10 minutes into the lesson. And I just went, oh, apparently if the teacher doesn't turn up after 10 minutes, you can all leave. Like, we can leave. That's a rule. I made it up. And so then everyone left. And I went down the corridor, down the flight of stairs, along the corridor again, back up, back into the room. And then the teacher came in 15 minutes late. And he went, where is everyone? And I went, oh, I don't know. Just, I'm the only one here.
Fantastic. I don't know whether that is evil or genius or both.
It made me laugh in my head. I couldn't work it out either. But I was like, I don't know if this is good or bad, but it's... Definitely made me laugh.
So, that's the important thing, really.
That's the immaturity in you.
Just to finish off, I want to talk about relationships. Obviously, you've touched on it a bit, Donna, but when you're into long-term relationships, do you tend to be the more mature one, or have you had relationships where you're not and you are, and does it vary? I know I was a bit sort of lost my way a little bit before I met Lindsay, and she sorted me out. She's like, stop wearing eyeliner, you look like a prick. Was the first honest sentence, and then lots of honest sentences followed from there. She's fucking got me sorted, basically. And
I think you look nice with eyeliner, though.
I think you'd look nice.
Yes,
yeah. I think you look nice either way.
Yeah, thank you.
Once in a while, you know what I mean.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But, I mean, relationships tend to have one sort of more together, mature one, and one more chaotic one. And I think that might be a good thing. But what pattern has your relationships followed?
I've only been in two. One was very long, 11 years, and then one was just like a couple of years. But I've just always been the mature one, I guess. Like, you know, sorting out the bills, doing this, doing that, cooking, cleaning, blah, blah, you know, 1940s housewife or whatever. It would be amazing if I ever did meet anyone again that they could take a little bit, just basically a 50-50 role, work in harmony together. That's all I'd want in a relationship. But that's not going to happen. I'm really negative.
It's not the most unrealistic fucking aim I've ever heard from someone.
Well,
it wasn't like you wanted to solve climate change by 2030. No, I mean, it's something you should easily be able to get, really.
I can't. It's not like I'm begging. It's not like I'm stood in a bloody plinth in Trafalgar Square saying I'm desperate, feed me, literally with the vitamin D. You know.
After this, your DMs are going to be full of that, Cressida. Don't you worry about that.
Do you think?
Cressida to my DM. What about Tess, what about you? I mean, I think I probably know the answer, but in your long-term relationships, well, have you had many? Donna's only had two, she said.
I've had a couple. I find, like, I'm definitely the more immature one, the less responsible one for sure. But I've also felt, like, in my current relationship, for example, like, I'm definitely the less responsible one when it comes to doing stuff. But I'm also the more calm one. So in situations that where people are rude to us in public, or we get a rude waitress, or you turn up somewhere and they're not very polite, or bad customer service or whatever, I'm definitely the calmer one in that situation. I'm definitely the sort of like, ah, so what? I'll be fine. Whatever, doesn't matter. Whereas she gets a bit riled up by bad customer service or people who are rude in public to us and stuff.
I'm one of those as
Whereas
well.
I'm like, oh, well, so what?
Lindsay's hand comes out. The hand comes out like a printer. Why is she speaking? The hand prints.
Like, we left a restaurant the other day and she goes, I think it was last month, and she goes, oh, I'm going to write a bad review about that. And I'm like, why? I'm like, she goes, and she generally said the sentence, so no one else has to go through what we went through. And I went, we're not in the Ukraine. We're not in Basra. What do you mean? What did we go through? Like, I don't understand what we went through. It was fine. Like, it was just someone wasn't that charming to us. We'll get over it.
I agree. But also, sorry to interrupt here. You know, I always play devil's advocate, and I always go, maybe they've had a really shit day. I'll give them three strikes. But if they, you know, I'm earning my money going out to a really lovely restaurant,
yes,
probably having 12 margaritas. I'm paying good, fine money for those 12 margaritas.
Yes.
If someone's a bit shitty with me, I'm going to give them three strikes because it's not.
No, I agree. But I would rather, in a hotel lobby when it's going wrong, stand behind the plant while Lindsay complains and gets us an upgrade. And then when the dirty business of complaining is done, I just emerge. Actually, I know when there's real trouble. We had one thing at an airport where it was like 12 people waiting to book. You know, one of those planes to Jersey or Guernsey. Like, there's nothing to rush for. There's no drama. Who cares, right? And it was like, the plane will be ready for boarding shortly, and everyone rushes to the rope in anticipation. We happened to be past, so we were first. And this big, like, fucking fat sort of Essex guy stands there, pretended not to understand the chaos of the queue. So he could go, oh, what's going on? There's no system here. Oh, look, I'm accidentally pushing to the front, doing one of those. So what is my... But and Lindsay just turned to me. She went, take my passport and yours and go and stand separately from me. So I had to take all the documentation and stand separate, because that's how serious the kickoff was going to be. And she just went for it. She went, excuse me, there is a system. You know damn well you've pushed in. That lady was here before you. You're going to wait in line like you fucking should. You're going to get back there. And he said, chill out, love. We're all getting on the same flight. And she said, yeah. And I'm fucking getting on it before you, Bellend. Back.
Oh, my God, I love her. 12 people. I absolutely love her. Why? She's proper got balls.
That could be argued. Bobby, in your relationship, I think we know the answer to this one, but have you tended to be the more mature together person?
Unlike Tez, I'm less calm and less mature. So, but then sometimes I would say I'm often better with money. I think sometimes there's an attitude in some relationships I've been in, not necessarily my current one, but some relationships where when there's money, it's like, oh, how can we spend all this money as quickly as we can? And I'm like, hey, what if we slow down on how quickly we spend all the money so we have some money? So, I mean, there's...
Take that, Martin Lewis.
There's some things where I would say that I feel more mature than some of the partners I've had, but that's probably the only one is money. Otherwise, yeah, I don't think I really... I'm usually being dragged into adulthood.
I remember a situation where me and Bobby, we were together, and Harriet was there as well, and we all kept very calm and mature. Remember that fight we got into in Edinburgh?
That was amazing.
Wow. And we all kept our calm. I was very proud of us.
Come on, you can't tease us like that.
There was a bar in Edinburgh where they didn't have tables. They had mattresses. It was a nice place, but it was weird. So there was like eight of us sitting on a mattress, and there was one guy sitting on this mattress, and we said, could we sit here? And he kind of grunted, so we thought that was a yes. We kind of sat around him. And then he got really angry, threatened to break my nose, I think. And then... I said, oh, you're going to hit me. He said, yeah. I said, okay, I'll be right back. And then I went and reported him to the bar staff. And then the bar staff came, and eventually he was dragged out while the whole bar sang, na 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 na.
Which I started.
Hey, hey, hey.
I started goodbye. That.
That was all Tez.
So Tez didn't threaten to get punched. It was only you that attracted the violence, Bobby.
No, I was diffusing him with humour. So I was just like very much.
You
sort
were working
of,
using counterterrorism tactics.
Yeah,
to get
I was using counterterrorism tactics to distract him while Bobby was calling the police.
I think he was quite racist, wasn't he?
He was a bit
Tez?
Racist. Yeah, yeah. Because
he
said
hated
something.
Canadians that much.
He's, no. he called you California wanker.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which I thought was very funny.
I think there was one thing you didn't know, though, is that I didn't like the guy. And he was being quite rude. So I was just sitting on his foot intentionally and causing him pain.
Nice.
And that was driving his anger.
Nice.
He said something a bit racist to me, and everyone in the group were like, oh, you can't say that, whatever. And he goes, oh, I'm not racist. Like, he's sort of got his back up, as these people do. And so I just went as loud as possible to the bar. I went, listen, everybody, listen, just want to clear this up. Just because this guy has said something racist, it does not make him a racist. Everyone needs to calm down. And he went, thank you.
I like the way he was more worried about being perceived as a racist than someone who's about to do like a serious assault to someone's face.
He really wanted to break my nose, and he was a lot bigger than me. It would have hurt. Yeah. Like, he had some weight behind him. So I'm glad he didn't punch me in the face.
Yeah, I thought we dealt with that really well.
Yeah, I think so,
I mean,
too.
We are almost out of time here. I mean, I was going to talk about men being mature enough to talk about their feelings, but we've touched on it so many more times in so many other episodes that I think I would rather talk about sexual maturity at the end, because it's not something we've ever spoken about before. Not in the sort of Prince Andrew sense, but in the sense that it seems to be men mature sexually. We're sexually active earlier, but our actual sort of empathetic sexual maturity seems to come later. So we've got the worst of both worlds. We're going like a sewing machine in a power surge from age 12, but unable to be mature enough to use the tackle properly, sometimes until a guy is nearly 30.
I'm really happy that my sex drive has dropped. It's dropped to probably what is a normal level. And I would be happy if it went away. I feel plagued by my sex drive. It's annoying. Mm. It's distracting. And although it gives me joy, I'm like, can you just go away so I can get things done?
It can't be a coincidence that if men mature at 46, that can't be a coincidence that is around the age when libido almost completely disappears. I mean, those two things must be linked.
That is fucking an amazing discovery by Nobel Prize winning Tez Ilias. So, Donna, what do you think? I mean, there used to be the... Just flicking through Cosmo as a teenager, trying to learn things about women, the stereotype seemed to be that women don't reach their full peak and able to have the confidence to say what they want in the bedroom and know their own bodies till they're nearly 30. So theirs isn't sexual maturity. Theirs is a sort of shyness about their own bodies that seems to go on for ages. For whatever reason, patriarchy, the Victorian era, who fucking knows? But what's your opinion on the whole mess?
It is an absolute mess and a disaster. But I think, like, now I've just got to the point where I just don't like to waste time. So I just It's
what
just
does that mean? Can you buy me a drink? Can I wake you off?
Yeah, exactly. She wants to get it done.
Pretty much. Because I know, right, if I'm meeting someone on, say, for example, a dating app, and I'm like, what are you looking for? Whatever. And they'll be like, you know, I'm looking for, like, hanging out and playing, like, having dates and, like, just having nice times. I'm like, really, what are you looking for? They're like, well, it'd be nice to just, you know... Okay, so just sex. Okay, fine. So a drink and sex. Fine. Absolutely fine. Because sometimes you just don't have time to have a relationship. And I know this might sound really cold, but it's nice to do your work at a weekend, have a quick dip and carry on.
Of course.
You know, it's like a little...
It sounds hot rather than cold to me. I got quite turned on during that story. I don't know about anyone else.
Yeah, that's hot, Donna. Donna, something that's hot. That's the hottest thing in the world to a married man. And someone being like,
oh,
of course.
I'm literally just going to press pause on iPlayer, nosh someone off, and I'll be back in 30.
No, and it does make me sound very, I don't know, some would say sluggish, but
you could say empowered feminist, in control of your own destiny.
Live your life.
And then that's what, thanks Pives, that's what I feel like I have got to the point in my life. You know, I do feel like that because I am single, I can do what the fuck I want. So yeah, in terms of confidence, though, you know, we're all self-conscious with our bodies and blah, blah. But, you know, you leave stuff on, you get the dominatrix or Donna Matrix stuff out.
Oh, there we go.
And, I don't, actually. Well, sometimes I do.
No, you make the sex slave do it. Get your own dominatrix stuff out. You little shit. You're nothing to me. Put the ball in your mouth,
you
bastard.
Fucking loser.
Yeah, please, you're going to make me come. Stop it.
Transfer the money in my account right now, you bastard. So I don't even know if I answered that properly. I was going off on one. Just thinking about my next dip, really.
Get what you need, Donna.
We could talk all day, but it's time to pull my finger and end this debate. Thank you very much to Donna Preston, Tez Ilias and Bobby Mebb. We've been discussing maturity here. If you've come here as fans of any of our three guests today, highly likely, please hang around, do hit subscribe, do leave a rating and do leave a review. Even an immature one that just says this whole podcast smells of fart. That's a win in my book.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.